You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Jimmy the shotgun on third down. They blitz.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Are you aware prior to a game when you might come off the field for Trey Lance?
It's a play action. Lance will throw wide open.
Sort of. You kind of know what the situation is. If he calls Trey in there, It is what it is.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Can't think about it too much, I'd say.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, Oklahoma quarterback DJ Graham, 76ers head coach Doc Rivers. Plus, from All Elite Wrestling, Cody and Brandi Rhodes. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Right in the middle of weeks two and three of the National Football League season. Right in the middle of the final 2 weeks of the regular season of Major League Baseball. Right in the middle of a basketball maelstrom coming from the Philadelphia 76ers, and we're going to be right in the middle of it, right in the middle of this week, in the middle of this show. I'm Rich Eisen, and I approve this guest list. That includes Doc Rivers,
Hey. Who's
on this program to talk about his new podcast and of everything that the Woj bomb set off yesterday. And he's already been on First Take, so I guess this is his second take. Do we call this a second take?
Second take. Yeah, I'm good with that.
It's one of those things where, like, I haven't seen Doc as anywhere else. This is going to be great. Oh, man, with Stephen A. Like, that's one of those moments when you sit down and you do a show. But we have our own unique method of interviewing, and I don't know what he said on First Take, to be honest with you, other than the fact that he's now trending.
He's trending. So,
that's because you sent out the Rich Eisen Show lineup at Rich Eisen Show. That's what I assumed.
It's out.
Our guest list trends. Exactly. At any rate, thank you for being with us today on Peacock or Sirius XM Channel 211, NBC Sports Audio. We follow the Dan Patrick Show on either of those platforms, both of those platforms, every single day. On Odyssey, you can stream us coast to coast listening to us. You can stream us everywhere with Peacock to see us. And then, of course, our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, for anything that you may have missed. We're closing in on 300,000 subscribers there, thanks in part to the large and getting larger Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network curated by our friends at Westwood One Coast to Coast. So we say welcome to this Wednesday show. Same to you, Chris Brockman.
Hey, Rich,
Del Tufo.
Good
to see you. And TJ Jefferson.
This show has
you as a running theme through it, not only because you sit here and you're with us every single day, 3 hours strong. But you briefed me on the Brandi Cody Rhodes conversation, so I was completely up to speed on wrestling, on the AEW world.
That's what I'm here for.
They're going to be joining in hour number three, the delightful couple that is behind the business decisions that are being made for the AEW, and of course also Face Front.
Huge card for AEW tonight from Arthur Ashe Stadium.
That is correct, from Arthur Ashe Stadium, which would be
cool. That's cool.
I know, isn't that pretty cool?
That's neat.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know if they're going to bash someone with a tennis racket or something like that. That'd be pretty cool.
Well, Jim Cornette has no involvement with AEW, so there'll be no tennis rackets.
Racket abuse. Someone's going to get called for racket abuse tonight. So prior to all that, the Rhodes family will join us, and then right in the middle of our program, man. What do you want to know from Doc Rivers? What do you want to know from him?
Man, I tell you.
As a Philadelphia 76er fan, what do you want to know from the head coach? As Adrian Wojnarowski reporting, and I'm being told that he did on First Take confirm that Ben Simmons did in fact tell him, I no longer wish to be here.
What?
So what do you got?
Well, you know, emotions run high in sports and sports fandom. So obviously when the playoffs happened, the layup that didn't happen caused all the fans to kind of revolt. and turn their backs.
Well, you're one of them.
I was pretty upset after, because I was a staunch defender of him for years. But now I months have gone on. I've calmed down a little bit more, kind of seeing the big picture, and I also realized that you're not going to get the value that I want to get personally for Ben. So I'm assuming that even though he made this declaration that he wants to leave, I'm kind of resigned to the fact now he's going to stay. So I'd like to know how Doc feels. Does he feel that he can make that work?
Bridget.
Yeah, Bridget. Okay.
So you can't, like I said yesterday, you can't blame him for wanting out. You can't blame him.
But again,
and I know, it's just, but again,
I thought about this all night, believe
it or not. He's the one who brought much of this on him with his play, right? Or whatever he is or is not doing to get better, right?
Right. Seemingly, yes.
He is the one whose lack of confidence caused him, in a microcosm of all of his problems in Philadelphia, to pass a ball rather than dunk it. His lack of shooting or successful shooting devolved into don't want to shoot. Mm. And that boiled down to one moment underneath the basket in a game 7 in Philadelphia, where instead of dunking it, he handed it to somebody else because he didn't want to go to the line, potentially. He has problems shooting free throws, too. So all sorts of problems that I think makes him no longer a viable athlete in Philadelphia. If he's sensing all of that, too, and he strikes me as a smart dude, why wouldn't he say, I want out of here? Certainly if, and we'll ask Doc this for sure later on, Doc's comments after game 7, where he said the words when he was asked, can he be a championship team member? Can he be a point guard on a championship team?
Yeah, championship point guard.
And I want to make sure I get this comment right. I wrote it down. I can't find a part in my book anymore. Oh, there it is here. I got it. I don't know how to answer that right now, is the quote that's all over the place. And apparently that is something that made Simmons irate, mm-hmm. that he has been stewing on all non-playing season. And he's now the playing season here. There's no way to bridge it. That's what he's saying. Now, we just saw an entire offseason of, I'm not playing. I'm a complicated fella, really? Like that sort of stuff in Green Bay. And guess who just won the home opener for the Packers with a 4-touchdown night?
Yeah, a little bit different there, but same.
I mean, it's same in the fact that, you know,
an unhappy superstar and unhappy
with what management may or may not be doing. The difference is that the fan base is all where it was apparently split, according to Mark Murphy, the president of the Green Bay Packers, based on the feedback they were getting on the Rodgers situation, the phrase that we can use in the NFL or the sports media, just lump in so many different things into the same bucket to just have a button to talk about a large group of subject matters. But, you know, Rodgers' situation didn't have the entirety of Green Bay against him. Do you know any Sixers fans who are like, you know what, we should keep Simmons? Do they exist?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely out there.
They must be. I mean, there's always this small percentage.
We got to remember, social media is the vocal minority. Remember that? So it's a vocal minority. So, you know,
I don't know. But
most same people don't go on there and just start complaining.
Well, the majority of fans in Philadelphia in the building were quite vocal that day.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was the heat of the moment, Rich.
I know. And now it's just time to see if they can play. And him saying, I'm not coming and I'm pissed at the coach and us are not going to see eye to eye ever again, only is going to serve to handcuff the team that he wants to trade him.
That's the big thing.
So if he really does want out, he should show up and answer the questions. Yeah. Once. Be done with it. He's a big boy. He's got skin. Very thick. He'll handle the questions and then be done with it.
You know how you win the fans back, though, Rich? If we don't make
show up and start playing well.
Show up and just ball. Winning solves everything.
Doc Rivers later on in this program. Ian Rappaport's going to be joining us up first, though, 12 minutes from now, my NFL media group compadre. Two stories that broke just before we came on the air. First things first, of the most recent, Antonio Brown has been placed on the COVID-19 reserve list. As we know, the Buccaneers are 100% vaccinated. So that just means Antonio has to have two straight days of zero symptoms and negative tests come back, and he'll be able to play Sunday against the Rams. If not, he'll be out. But because he is vaccinated, he has a shot to play. Remember, we had Dr. Alan Sills, the chief medical officer of the NFL, say, hey, if somebody's either a close contact or placed on the reserve COVID list for any reason, and they're vaccinated, they have the opportunity to play on that Sunday, because all they have to do is just present zero symptoms for two straight days and two straight negative tests, and you're in. If you're unvaccinated, you're out all automatically. So that's story number one, to keep an eye on that. And then Brian Flores, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, says Tua's got fractured ribs. Oh, boy. And will not play this week. It'll be Jacoby Brissett. Ooh. Against the Raiders, and Jacoby Brissett had the bang thing placed upon him by the Bills defense in that 35-0 wipeout W that put the Bills back on the straight and narrow. Packers got back on the straight and narrow. Bills got back on the straight and narrow. So, Browns got back on the narrow. I don't know how straight that was.
Crooked.
But they got back on it. Ravens did get back on the straight and narrow. It was very crooked, and then it was very narrow. It was very narrow, and then it got very broad.
In a big way.
Okay. So, and that's what I wanted to kind of say right off the top, football-wise, just my general sense as we're turning the page to week three right now. We all know about those 2-0 teams. We'll have conversations over the next couple days about 2-0 teams you believe in, 0-2 teams that you think still have a shot.
That was yesterday's poll.
Well, we did half of one of those yesterday, right?
We did the 0-2
yesterday. Teams that still have a shot.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to do, because I try to look at things differently. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that chuckle over there. I try to look things differently. I've got 4-1-1 teams that are on the edge. I don't want to say in the brink. On the brink is very dramatic. On the edge is like you could go either way.
Yeah.
Edge is either way.
I mean, you're teetering.
Right.
Brink
is teetering. That might be a tough word too. You're on the edge. You're on the edge because you know you could use the win now. If you don't, it's okay.
Right.
But you could really use the win now. 2-1, much better than 1-2. Certainly, if the next couple of steps are big old Lulus as well, to use the Looney Tune phrase. And on top of it all, I don't want to be so dramatic.
Okay.
But I would like some music.
I'm not judging.
All right. I would like some music. Here we go. First up, let's start with the Steelers. Because Big Ben says he's going to do all he can.
Yeah, everything that he can.
Everything that he can. It's, you know, that phrase about I'm going to do everything I can to get back is very similar to, you know, hey, Lamar, you want to go for it?
Right.
Yeah, part of me does, Coach. In the same way as Big Ben, like, you know what? I'm only going to do 8 out of 9 things to get back. Like, if there's 9 things to get back, I'll do only 8 of them.
Right.
Of course he's going to do everything. But the problem is, if he's doing everything to get back, already the first 2 weeks, it didn't look so darn pretty at all. And now you're going to throw Mason Rudolph in this mix, potentially. And he's had how many times has this guy had chances to show, like, he's the next? How many times did he have showed he's the next, and Ben, your time here is past? Devin Bush hurt. T.J. Watt hurt. Tua out. Alu Alu out. Joe Hayden hurt. On the edge, home versus Cincinnati at Green Bay, and then two home dates. Denver, which is now your higher register home date. Hey, the Broncos are in town. And then home for Seattle, which you know is always a slugfest. Always a slugfest. Certainly if that's Bobby Wagner in the middle of their defense. Steelers on the edge at 1-1. Next up, you got the Dolphins. I mean, Tua's got fractured ribs, right? They're coming off a 35-0 beatdown. Brissett is now going to take the Dolphins into Vegas, where the Raiders are another one of those high. Hey, they're 2-0. Look out. Then they're the only thing that they have is a little bit in their favor is the schedule, because Indianapolis is next for them at home. And who knows? Could that be Jacob Eason's second start right there? They're at Tampa. Look out below on that front. Then they go to London for Jacksonville and home for Atlanta. So the schedule isn't so nasty, but coming up with a win here, 2-1, hey, we got no Tua, but Brissett's the guy for the moment. They're on the edge. Number three, Chicago Bears. Enough said, right? Honestly, enough said. Every move being made right now as to whether it's Fields or not, it's Dalton, it's Fields. It's Dalton if he's healthy. If he's not healthy, it's Fields. But if Dalton becomes healthy again, does it matter what Fields is going to do? All those questions. The offense, what does it look like? The scheme. David Montgomery didn't have 100 yards this past week. But the defense came up with three consecutive interceptions of Joe Burrow to save the day when Dalton did go down. Bears take on Cleveland this week, home for Detroit at Vegas, and then the first of their two against Green Bay before a trip to Tampa, home for San Francisco, a trip to Pittsburgh, and then a bye week. You bet they're on the edge. You bet they're on the edge. And I'm telling you, get Justin Fields some run. You don't want him making his first starts against those teams in October. Get him his lumps now, up to speed, because he's going to have to get in there. Your fourth team on the edge? I'll say it, man, because they're in the deepest end of the pool, and they're the only team that has not emerged unscathed through the first 2 weeks of this season. The Seahawks are on the edge, man.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You can't get too far behind in your division right now. Arizona's got a winnable game against Jacksonville. Obviously, the Rams and the 49ers have some tough home dates against the Bucs and the Packers, respectively. I mean, the other two teams that you're looking at, other than Arizona, are taking on the NFC Championship game participants from last year. But you cannot afford to drop to 1-2. And Minnesota is who they're visiting this week. Minnesota's 0-2. They're going to be very hungry. Seahawks, after that, at San Francisco, home for the Rams on a short week. They've got Thursday night football to kick off week 5. How about that one? Then they're at Pittsburgh before a home date with New Orleans and then a home date with Jacksonville. So things can potentially get a little lighter before they're bye. Those are your 4-1-1 teams on the edge going into week 3. And on the edge is, you know, need a win, teetering either way. Let's not be so dramatic. But those are my 4-1-1 teams I'm throwing out there.
Actually, I like that.
You could throw another one out there too, just a little bit. New England. Here's a bonus one. You got,
like, on the edge.
Do we need one more?
Oh, they should be 2-0.
Do you need one more?
All right, we'll get one more.
Yeah, you're on the edge. New Orleans is coming in, and you know, New Orleans can do to a rookie quarterback what Patriots just did to the Jets version, and then you know who's coming in next the next week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but don't you feel like Jameis could also have 4 picks this weekend?
Oh, he could. But that's what I'm saying. You know, you'd like to be 2-1 with Brady coming in rather than 1-2.
Yeah, giving that game away week one really hurts.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
They're already gearing up in New England for that one. I know some friends of mine over there.
Wow. I mean, did you hear Tom Sr. on the radio yesterday in Boston?
What'd he do?
I mean, this guy. Like, we need to stop. People we need to stop hearing from publicly. I mean, the list is long and distinguished, but
don't say that
Tom
Sr.
needs to stop going on the radio and shooting his mouth.
What's he saying?
Oh, the bad blood, and Bill was kicking him out, and Tom's extra special fired up for this one. Like,
this is great.
Okay, old man, we're done.
Don't say that about his dad, man. What's your problem?
Wow.
Who cares what someone's, an athlete's father has to say?
For 20 years you cared, and now
actually, I did not.
All right, let's take a break. Ian Rappaport, when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Everything going on with the NFL injury list and so much more. Ian Rappaport next on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Okay, I've got more stuff than opening up boxes.
Hercules,
From years ago. Yeah,
there's
we're going back
so
to the future.
Much in the back.
Again, we moved offices, NFL Network, old offices to the new spot, and they had like boxes of my stuff stored for like 10 years. And they just sent the boxes here. So honestly, I just opened this up before and I saw what's in here.
Yeah.
And, oh my God.
Here we go.
All right. Oh my gosh. We'll place this one aside for a second.
What do we got?
A photograph of me with Billy Joel. Ooh. Interviewing him at the Super Bowl.
Is that when he gave out how long the...
Yeah, when he... This is right after the press conference where NFL specifically said, when you're doing the press conference about singing the national anthem, please do not talk about how long it is. People bet on it. And the first thing he said was, it's great to be here. I love doing this again. It's an honor. Just been practicing. I think it'll be about 2 minutes and 10 seconds, 2 minutes, 5 seconds, right around there. That's how he started. And then I sat down with him.
Sing us a song.
Here is the placeholder of my time when I visited Emmitt Smith with Dancing with the Stars.
And that was when you wore jeans, right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
He's going to get
that story. All right. Here's a photograph of me and Stuart Scott in 70s gear for the 70s Sports Center.
Nice. Wow.
On the back end, me interviewing. Oh my God! At the 1997 I think 98 All Star Game, my first one I covered at the Home Run Derby. That's me with Jim Thome there.
Jim Thome.
That's Patrick Courtney, who is the right hand man of the commissioner right now.
Wow.
Manfred, look at Pat. Look at you, Pat. All right, now here's a good one.
Uh oh.
Remember, I told this story all the time about how when I left ESPN, I started NFL Network. Remember that Susie was covering the Lakers and all that? And so she got us into the NBA All-Star festivities that was going on in 2004. NFL Network started in 2003. I left at ESPN in May of 2003. NFL Network starts November. Following February here in Los Angeles, we're going around these parties, and somebody says to me, hey, I see you every day. And I'm like, wow, you see NFL Network? You get NFL Network? We're only in like 11 million homes. The guy's, no, I'm talking about SportsCenter. I'm like, I haven't been on there since last May. And he goes, are you all right? That was the reaction I kept getting. So then, you know, launch is successful. 2004 is incredible. I get nominated for an Emmy Award, and I'm feeling great about myself. And then I get in the mail from something called the 2005 Cable Facts Award. 2005 Best Comeback.
Wow.
They gave out a certificate.
Best comeback.
I still have it.
Like Mike.
16 years later, still basking in the glow.
Still
thanks
coming back.
Cable Facts Magazine, the Faxy Award for Best Comeback. Thanks. Didn't need it.
Wow.
We're back.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock, NBC Sports on Peacock. Our radio audience is now back with us, and so is my colleague from the NFL Network and the NFL Media Group. He also provided some terrific insight on what's going on in the NFL when he was my guest for this past Monday Night Football's halftime show on Westwood One. He is my buddy, Ian Rappaport. What's up, Rap Sheet? What's going on?
What's going on, Rich? You kind of
you kind of made me think of something that happens to me all the time.
Which is what?
Which is, hey, man, just want to say, you know, you do a great job. I love watching you on ESPN.
They think you're Schefter?
Like, ah, you were so close. Man, everything was right until the last four letters. And I know what they mean, and it's all the same to many people, but I'm like, come on, man.
Do they think you're Schefter? Is that what the, is that what that means? No, sir, I'm being serious, because the number of times I would get, you know, Bob Lee, I still get, you know, hey, man, you were great, and I get Kenny Mayne, and I'm like, I look nothing like Kenny Mayne. What are you talking about? I get that all the time.
I would say once out of every probably 20 times, I'll get like Schefter, and I'll be like, close, same church or same, you know,
same synagogue, right, same synagogue.
My problem is there's no way to correct it without kind of sounding like a jerk.
Yeah, I know.
Like, there's no way to be like, I'm the other guy who you see on TV. Like, there's just,
yeah, and NFL Network isn't and NFL Network isn't ESPN, you know, but it's. It's good to be, hey, you're that guy. I get that all the time.
Right.
You're that guy, that guy. Now you're our guy right now, Ian. So how long is Tua going to be out, do you think, with this rib injury?
So he's definitely out this week. And this was an interesting one because on Sunday night and Monday, everyone was pretty sure it was bruised ribs, except he was in so much pain that I think they just didn't feel something was, you know, felt something wasn't right. So they did more tests, an MRI, I believe a CT scan too, and that's where you discover, you know, like tiny fractures. So multiple rib fractures, you know, out anywhere from probably 1 week to 3 weeks. So like the actual true week to week. So definitely out this week, could be out again the following week, and then, you know, we'll see. And obviously, you know, it's like anytime there's a Texans, you know, quarterback question, it brings up Deshaun Watson. Obviously, the Dolphins were one of the rumored teams as well.
Right.
And then, you know, Tua's, you know, I wouldn't say on the firmest ground. I don't think anyone is 100% convinced, 1,000% that he's a franchise quarterback. So then Brissett comes in for a game or two. It's just, it brings up a lot of questions. I would say more questions than answers.
Well, that focuses things on a trade deadline, don't you think? I mean, especially since this week, proved that there is no scenario in which the Texans are going to start Deshaun Watson this year or ask him or put him in a position to tell his teammates, I am not going to come to the rescue for you guys, right? I mean, this week proved it. I mean, they just half an hour ago added Jeff Driskel to the active roster.
Yeah.
So what more do you need to know on a short week?
Oh, 100%. And I was even surprised that people thought there was a chance that Watson could play because, you know, for two reasons, Rich. One, he has been pretty clear that he is not going to play for the Texans. Two, I know this sounds weird, but it actually makes sense for them, for him not to play, not risk injury, and, you know, trade him either when there's more certainty as far as, you know, what the team is like you're trading him to, or at the end of the year when you know what kind of draft pick you're getting, because it's two bad scenarios happen if you trade him, you know, right now or you play him. One, he could get hurt. That ruins your trade value and also makes him hurt. Two, you know, you'd hate to trade him somewhere. Then that team all of a sudden becomes really good.
Yes.
And then you trade it for like the 27th overall pick. You know, like that doesn't help a lot.
Right. Ian Rappaport here on the Rich Eisen Show. Ben Roethlisberger, how hurt is he? And has he been hurt? Because the offense just looks so dreadful in Pittsburgh right now. I mean, it looked better in the couple of series that Ben had in the preseason against ones. I mean, it's looked completely awful is really the only way to put it. They haven't even gotten Najee Harris more than 30 carries so far in two games that were not even out of hand. So walk me through the Steelers, Ben, current, future, the whole thing right now.
Well, it doesn't seem like there's a place where somebody said, okay, he got injured here on Sunday. And so if that's the case, then maybe it is like, was this a nagging injury that we didn't know about? Was this kind of just something that was annoying, but he didn't say anything? Like, it brings up all of those things. And then, you know, like you've done this long enough. Usually when something seems off, it usually is off for a reason. Like, if it looks like things aren't right in Pittsburgh, like a lot of times that means an injury we don't know about. So, you know, it is possible. I think he's probably going to end up playing only because Ben always, literally always plays. But every one of these little things, you know, kind of brings him down just a little bit. I mean, he is a gamer, and we've seen this, you know, I mean, we will laugh on game day morning watching him warm up, just limping around and go out and throw 45 times. But it is a little bit concerning. Also, he's 38 or something. So each of these little things is not so little.
Right. And he's just right around, yeah, 30, 39, right? Pushing 40. And, you know, Hayden, Bush, Watt, Alu out for a while now. I mean, the defense was, at least you could, the defense would got him through Buffalo. So what can you tell me about Watt's readiness, since obviously he's the defensive player of the year candidate amongst the many bold-faced names I just said?
And has looked awesome so far. I mean, just awesome. So his injury was described to me as pretty minor. So I'm not definitely saying he's playing this week. I mean, it's a groin injury, so usually you miss some time. But it sounds like if he misses time, it's going to be minimal, like maybe one game or something like that, you know, which is good news because he was in street clothes pretty quick on Sunday. So usually when that's the case, I was like, oh, boy, that's not good. But it seems like this is more minor than anything. But you're right. I mean, they are going to have to rely on a lot of young people very, very early. And, like, it's they have one of the best infrastructures of any team. So I think they're going to be fine and at least withstand until reinforcements come back. But it is a little bit of a precarious situation, I would say that.
Well, depth is being tested all across the league right now, certainly at the quarterback position. Any chatter about Cam Newton at all? Or all teams are like, no, we're going to go through our depth chart. We're going to rely on our depth. That was the plan coming in. That's the plan now. And then that phone, Cam's phone would ring when that those plans, somebody's plans to rely on their depth are going to get upset. That's for sure. So where's Cam in all of this? Best you can tell.
No, I haven't heard him mention at all.
Wow.
Which, you know, we don't have a situation where, I mean, we have one quarterback that's out for the season, but I think we've seen Taylor Heinicke could actually be really good. So, you know, I think I understand and people understand why Cam Newton wasn't the choice there, because Heinicke looks like, honestly, as good as Fitzpatrick or maybe even better, at least at first blush. We don't have a situation where, you know, Cam would come in and take over, because all the guys who are out, even Tua, it's more one or two games, if that. But again, like, I haven't heard him mention him at all. And even, you know, each time the Patriots signed him, I don't even think they were competing with anybody else. So unless I'm missing it, which is possible, I haven't heard any Cam Newton chatter at all, really.
Well, let me give you one name that might not be talked about very much either, because he's out and now he's on the COVID list. Any word on Michael Thomas on when he might return for the Saints? Because they said it looked like week one, hey, we don't need him. Week two, boy, do we miss him. You know, so you could always use can't guard Mike. Any word on his availability sometime soon?
Yeah, and that was a really rough example of, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Jameis, and Mr. whatever. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yes.
Whatever that is. That's the nightmare scenario for the Saints, is that week in and week out, you don't know what Jameis you're going to get. But I would say for Michael Thomas, I believe that he's got a good shot to be out there week 7. And I think if I remember correctly, they have a bye either week 5 or 6. So I think
week
he's
five.
Supposed to miss.
Yep.
Okay. So then I think he's supposed to miss 5 games, not 6 games, which, you know, is not ideal, but it's a situation. I was thinking the same thing with Bradley Chubb yesterday, because, you know, Chubb had ankle surgery. It's so bad to see a great player out there and not look like himself. And last year, Michael Thomas did not look like himself, just like Chubb didn't look like himself last week. So he had surgery. He fixed it. I'm sure he is, as he tends to be, extremely, extremely angry and motivated in a way that few players can get. So my guess is when you see Michael Thomas, you will see a very good version of him. And I will say this,
yes,
not being self-serving at all, but is it possible he's on my fantasy bench waiting until he comes back? I'm not going to comment on that, but it would help. Yes.
Well, that's part of the reason why I asked. And so what about Brandon Ayuk? We had Jimmy G on the show yesterday, and he said the competition is stiff at the receiver position. So he's kind of saying the same thing that the coach is saying, which should not surprise anybody that a quarterback is echoing what a coach is saying for whatever reason. But what is going on with one of the top rookies from last year coming back and then being a non-factor in, yes, two wins for the team, but one catch, boom, that's it. What's going on there for him?
One catch, 15 snaps in the opener, which is not a lot, obviously. You know, I think Kyle said it kind of plainly, and he sort of tends to do this, just say what he's thinking, but, like, I think they need more consistency. And, it, you know, week one felt to me like a wake-up call where just something wasn't right and they needed more from him and you hope he responds. I mean, these are, you know, these are human beings, right? So sometimes maybe they fall off or maybe they're not as consistent as they should be or, you know, maybe just, I'm not saying this is specifically him, but maybe the effort isn't what you want. It really feels like something better needs to happen for Brandon Ayuk for him to replicate what was the case last year, because it's kind of going the wrong way. And he's so talented,
right,
and such a unique player that I'm sure he can turn it around. But, like, you know, there's no free passes. It's pretty clear he's not getting one. So I think he needs to, you know, kind of pick it up a little bit. And Kyle Shanahan was pretty plain in saying so.
A few minutes left with Ian Rappaport, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, NFL Network, at Rapsheet on Twitter and also Instagram. Hey, when you're chit-chatting with everybody across the league, what's the chatter about the taunting re-emphasis or emphasis right now and why it's happening and how resolute those who are demanding it to happen from ownership and coaching staffs or coaching offices, how resolute are they moving forward with this? That got fans are pissed, I'll tell you that. So, and players aren't happy. What are you hearing on this?
It is weird though, because, like, I've seen a lot of the clips, and I think there's, you know, people online are definitely mad about this, and people online tend to get mad about a lot of things. There are some of those penalties where, you know, the receiver gets right in someone's face, and we see it, but we can't hear, and then the ref throws a flag, and everybody loses their minds, but you're like, we don't know what he said. I don't know. I would say this, like, it's really polarizing. So I've had some people come to me and be like, look, this is bad. The league needs to change this. I don't sense any momentum to change. And I also, like, there are a surprising number of people to me that don't like taunting and would prefer that it not exist and are trying to get it out. Like, and I just know from, like, a kid perspective, you know, watching one little kid taunt another kid in, like, a 8-year-old soccer game really pisses me off.
No, I know. I'm with you too. It's just the officiating of it. You're putting the officials in a position of deciding what is taunting and what is just excessive celebration that might be in the direction of another, you know, an opponent.
Well,
you know, and then how is it not taunting a team when you're cartwheeling in an end zone? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think you really hit on the issue there. Is we as people who are, you know, in the league and, you know, report on the league, we celebrate celebrations.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a weekly award for celebrations. And I love celebrations. I think it's one of the best things the league has done in a long time. And then you're kind of like, well, isn't taunting sort of that? And you're right. Like, that's the only thing, is trying to find that fine line. I don't think it's been perfect, but I would say it seems to be more in the category now of, like, something that is a big issue 3 or 4 weeks into the season, then week 8, it won't be an issue anymore because everyone adapts. The officials learn, the players learn, and it becomes kind of like a thing.
Or Tom Brady just got a tweet about it, because that's what blew up the emphasis on holding a couple of years ago. I mean, that's literally what happened. The holding penalties that came out of preseason, like, don't worry, it's just the preseason. We're just trying to use the preseason for emphasis. And then the first two weeks plus the Thursday night game was so bad, Brady tweeted about it, poof, it was gone, right? And now the emphasis on taunting, it was all these flags in the preseason. Don't worry about it, by the regular season, everyone will adjust. And, you know, I am all for, Ian, having removed from the game individual A does something terrific, stands over defender A and yet barks at said defender. Like, that we don't need. You just don't need it.
Right.
But when guys do something and they go face to face and they start jawing at each other, It's just a spillover effect of a very violent game that is highly emotional, and people who play it at the highest level are some of the most emotional people. And you got to figure out where that line is. And in the meantime, it's just arbitrary. It's like a taking targeting and, you know, and applying it to celebrating, that you're targeting your defender with your celebration. And I feel like it's not working so far. And I'm just wondering what you're hearing on that.
Yeah. I have not sensed any move to change. And I really think that the NFL believes that people will adjust and do much less taunting at other players and much less celebrating into the ether. And maybe after week four or week three or something, well, this is week three, maybe after week four,
right,
it will sort of adapt to itself. I'll say this, like, I've been surprised, and I was reading Bill Belichick's comments on this, because he seems to be someone who is a proponent of the anti-taunting rule. There are a surprising number of people who like the way it is, who would prefer that taunting was out of the game. I've been surprised by that part of it.
Say that again. There are people who like Belichick. Again, that's what I'm hearing, that there are the those in membership, ownership, and head coaches. You know, we had Frank Reich on the program, and he's just like, hey, I want to crush everyone just like, you know, anyone else. Like, I'm a competitive guy, but taunting should be out. And I tell my guys, you know, just celebrate in the other direction. And this was after his guy got called for taunting.
Yeah, and I've been surprised how many people take that stance. I just didn't expect that. So that's kind of the other side of it, you know?
Ian, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it. We'll chat again. Look for my call, as always.
Look forward to it, Rich. Always great hanging out.
Yeah, right back at you, and we'll see you on NFL Game Day morning on Sunday.
I think a lot of the taunting stuff just comes with the inconsistency at which it's called.
That's what I'm saying. It's like targeting. It's like targeting, where you're now applying targeting to the celebration rule. That if you're targeting your celebration towards your opponent, that's a taunt. The problem is targeting, as you know, is so arbitrary, and it drives you crazy, because it should be something that is obvious and clear and codified in a rule book, but it isn't sometimes. And it's not called. And it's definitely, I mean, college is a hot mess when it comes to targeting. So now you're going to take that and apply it to celebrations. And it's becoming a little bit of a hot mess. I don't want taunting in the game. Do you? I don't think anybody does.
What are we defining as taunting? Like, getting in someone's face, yes, that's taunting.
Right.
But
remember, there used to be a 5-yard face mask and a 15-yard face mask, just like there's a 5-yard roughing the kicker and a 15-yard. Like, there needs to be, like, a separation of, and like, a, they should zoom it out. Like, taunting is this. Woofing is that.
Right.
Woofing is not a flag. Right? But if you are getting up and yelling at somebody or getting in the face of somebody else, you know.
But it seems like it's pretty obvious when someone is doing a gesture or screaming literally at someone. But if you're just celebrating a first down, or even like Lamar Jackson, if you're backflipping into the end zone.
I don't think that should have been taunting, by the way.
I don't either. But when you look at it and compared to the Bucs player who just backpedaled into the end zone on a pick six, that was flagged. So by the same logic, Lamar should have been flagged.
Yeah, I just think it should be anybody who stands over somebody else that's 15.
Right. I think that's obvious. Right.
Anybody who stands over somebody else gets 15.
But if you're excited about an amazing play you just made.
What about flashing the deuces?
But are you doing it at someone, or are you just running by yourself into the end zone?
Yeah, but even if you turn around and you flash deuces, I mean, the whole concept of, correct me if I'm wrong, gents, flashing deuces is you're doing it at somebody, collectively or individually. The individual deuce flashing is.
But if you're Tyreek and you're so far ahead of everyone and you're just doing it, like, that's cool.
The problem with this is all subjective.
Yes.
Like we said yesterday.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm listening. What you think and what you think and what I think right now are completely different, like we said yesterday.
Right. That's where you got to draw.
I wouldn't even think to flag that clearly you would flag and you might not flag. And I'm way more lenient, I think. Right. So
that's why we've got to draw a line. Standing over somebody.
That's
like
the Chuck Bednarik
delineate.
Rule, Rich. You stand over somebody and you celebrate, you get the Chuck Bednarik.
This is like
that's
the
a 15-yard flag.
This is like the bat flip. It's like, okay, you do that. I get it. But it's like in soccer, hockey, look what hockey players do after they score. Well, it's insane. Or soccer players. They go and they go crazy.
But they're not doing it at someone.
Hockey players aren't. They're in the motion after they score.
No, that's why they're saying to everybody, when you get up and you make a great play, instead of standing over the guy, just start keep moving and start yelling into the ether.
Right. And I think that's fine. Like we said, emotional, physical game. There's a lot happening.
What's
high speed?
On opening night, and then we'll take a break. On opening night, I saw this. When Jalen Ramsey came up with a huge stop on, I think, one of the many fourth downs.
The Bears went for.
He broke up a play or something, right? And as he's coming off the field, and he is hyped. He went hyped crazy in the direction of a Bear for a split second. And you know who jumped out because he was already almost back to his sideline? McVay.
Yeah.
Jumped out because, you know, he's so hyper himself on that. He's got like that get back guy who's like built like a brick house, right? Right. And so he's hyped, but he jumped in to get Jalen's attention, at which point Jalen, I think, saw his coach and then started directing everything at his teammates. Mm-hmm. But you saw, like, McVay's right on it. Don't want 15.
Well, it's instinct. Like, your instinct is to get up and get excited.
You don't know if these guys are really fast doing it. And they do it early to set the tone. We're not going to have woofing today.
It's like in the NBA.
Exactly.
Get those tees out of the way early.
All right, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Doc Rivers joining us. Our Gorilla Glue toughest player on planet Earth of week number 3 of college football is coming up. And you've already seen him on your Twitter feed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Okay, I've got some claims to fame here that I need to check with you.
Okay.
It's not technically our celebrity true or false, but although I do want to play Start, Bench, Cut, a game that we play here on the Rich Eisen show shortly within a second. True or false that you have intercepted Tom Brady at one point?
I did a charity event for Best Buddies back in Boston.
That's his charity, right? That he has his game.
Yeah, he plays quarterback for both teams. Last play of the game, my team's down.
Yes.
I see Tom, he's going to throw this cute kid who's, you know, been excited to get a ball thrown to him all day. So I see Tom's elbow line up. I go, this kid's not getting this ball. So I ran over and I jumped in front of this kid, pulled it down, ran it in for the game-winning touchdown. And he signed the ball. I got it in my living room.
Are you proud of yourself?
I picked six off Tom.
I know, that's
Brady.
Fine. I understand that. But you,
I made a kid cry for that ball.
How old would you suggest this young child?
He might have been like 12.
You stepped in front and you high-stepped Tom Brady.
Are you kidding me? That's the only way I was ever going to intercept Tom Brady.
So here's another one. Is it true that you were in the room when Tom Brady met Giselle?
That is true. That was true.
Where was this, Dane Cook?
07 AFC playoff game in San Diego. Pats Chargers and San Diego Chargers at the time.
Yes.
And Giselle was sitting with us in the box. So the Kraft family was like, oh, Giselle's here to, she's never seen Tom play. And she didn't really know football. She literally during the game was like, so why do they have to run with the ball this way? I don't understand why both teams don't help each other. She was had that very thick Brazilian accent.
Yes.
And then we all were ushered down to the locker room. And when I saw them see each other and she kind of grabbed him by the arms and they're looking at, they're almost the same height, but she's looking at him because, yeah, you know, he's bigger than life. And they were so, it was like they were so beautiful. You know those moments in like a Disney movie where the camera just spins around the, yes, prince and princess? And I felt like I was just spinning around.
And the birds start flying like zippity-doo-dah.
It was unbelievable. You were like, oh, that's a power cut. I think I called my girlfriend right there and was like, we're done. We have nothing even close to what I'm experiencing here.
So let me, again, so you're there as with the Patriots in the owner's box, right?
Right, yeah.
And Giselle just happened to be invited separately.
Yeah.
And they, and then you all go downstairs and you watch,
that's right,
the romance essentially happen.
I watched these.
That happened.
You know, when they, you know, goo-goo gaga eyes, sure, like, yeah, yeah, this is what they had. They had all the things that are a fiction that you were like, oh, man, okay. I just have to stand there. I felt like voyeuristic, just standing there watching them love each other live.
In the locker room.
In the locker room.
YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for our entire archive at Rich Eisen Show for all of our handles. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio affiliates and Sirius XM along with Peacock and Odyssey. And you can get our podcast version of this show every single day. Go and subscribe to that. We greatly appreciate it on the Cumulus Podcast Network. Same for Just Getting Started. Latest episode dropped today. Voices of the NFL talking about their career origins. Week one of Zal Michaels. Week two, Joe Buck. Today's Aaron Andrews telling some really good stories about how she got started in the business. Play some of the soundbite later on the show for that. So please check it all out. Chris, I don't mean to stir things up.
Uh-oh.
This comes from the heart.
But?
It's no but. You tell me if this is an issue.
Okay.
Because when, you know, I don't know how the separation of church and state is in your house.
Okay.
Which is church for you, Patriot fandom. Mm. The state being Sarah Tiana, despising all things Patriots, correct?
Her famous one line is, she'd rather root for Al-Qaeda than the Patriots.
Okay. So, by the way, she's a fantastic comedian.
She is.
Stand-up, writing, producing, all of that.
Yep.
I'm with her on that one.
Susie handed this to me the other day,
okay,
because it's in the pile of, hey, giveaway.
Right.
Because our children are through with it. It is very beautiful baby,
oh,
Patriots hat.
Baby Patriots.
Now,
take it.
Is this a provocative act from me and Susie?
Ooh.
I mean, how will this be viewed in your house? Do you put this on your baby's head?
Yeah, of course, because everything that he currently has now is Braves,
yes,
Falcons,
correct,
Georgia.
And Georgia.
Right.
Because, and I say this with love, she is more than happy to waste her money on these products at this point in time.
Word.
He's told me this before. Yes.
At this point in time.
Yes.
See, that's the thing is, like, my son is a baby Gronk. He's enormous.
Yes.
Like, he looks three. He's 1.5.
Yes.
And so it's like,
he's no longer being carted going into.
Yeah.
Into,
yeah. No, exactly. He literally, okay, bought us booze the other day. He is like
baby fencer.
He's growing through things and clothes at a rapid pace.
Yes.
So I just think it's kind of foolish to, like,
well, this is adjustable.
Buy him, yeah, a baby jersey when he's going to be grown out of it in a few months.
No, but you have to enjoy the moments when you have them.
I understand.
Chris.
And so I'm letting him enjoy his moments in his Braves hat. Or
so whatever. What does that mean? When he grows older, you will put up some sort of a roadblock here?
No, well, just
when my kids
we'll let
were
him
born,
choose, I
when,
guess.
When
I
Xander
know.
Was born,
yeah,
the amount of, because, you know, Susie's from the Boston area.
Right.
The number of Red Sox, Celtics, Patriots gear that came to the house, I mean, I couldn't keep track. I couldn't keep it all out.
Right.
So I made a decision that I could not in any way, shape, or form, with Tom Brady as the quarterback, the Michigan man of all time,
right,
and the Jets being the Jets, sit there and say, you know, Patriots gear is just something I can't handle, because child services would come to remove the child from my custody.
Sure.
But Celtic stuff with the Knicks and the Dolan wormhole, yeah. And I just looked the other way, drew the line at Red Sox gear. Drew it at the Red Sox.
And I get that because the Red Sox and Yankees are rivals, of you course. Know. The Braves and Sox aren't rivals. No, so if he wants to root for both teams, that's,
so this
that's
hat,
fine. That's
you,
great. We love
you
it.
Bringing this hat home and putting it on your son's head is not viewed in any way, shape, or form as a provocative act.
No, because the Falcons stink.
Wow.
And wait a minute, Chris.
Okay, that's good.
And then Chris, did you just say it's okay if he roots for two teams?
Is
that what you,
because
yes. That's what you just said.
Hold on a second. He's got two, we're two people.
There's two people.
Okay.
Yes, mom and dad. That's true.
And yeah. He's growing up here, but
I think what he's also saying is the difference between you
big,
and
his again, big it's difference.
Subjective difference. Again, you can't have addendums to rules. If it's a rule,
he's
it's a rule.
18 months.
If it's a rule, it's a rule.
I have to jump in.
Are you allowed to say your age? No, you're almost 50.
Well, I gotta
jump in.
What
have, do you mean? Gents, I have
you
to jump
like
in.
I just started rooting for these teams last
guys,
week.
Guys, I've got to jump in because we're against the hard out on our radio stations. So let me just put a button on this. The difference between you, TJ.
There is none.
And his son, I think Chris is saying, is that his son is not a weirdo. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that would say I'm not a weirdo, though, bro. But okay.
Hour number one in the books. Hour number two, our Gorilla Glue guy and Doc Rivers coming up. So okay, you're going.
But he is going to have to choose at one point. I mean, he doesn't know the difference. Thank you, though. This is awesome.
We want a picture on Twitter today. Later today.
I don't think he needs to choose, is my point. He can root for the Red Sox and the Braves. Why not?
He can grow up and he can say, I'm rooting for the Red Sox and Braves. And you know what? He's not wrong. And I'll tell you, though, he will be viewed as a weirdo.
By who?
Everyone. Yeah,
everyone.
It's weird.
And then 100% of the people out there.
My mom's
I'm
a
weird.
Diehard. My heart. My mom's a diehard Braves right. fan. My dad's a total masshole.
Right.
And I can't stand him, but I'll still root. But you know, it.
And the cat.
But Braves, like it'll be like why, and then they'll have to tell the story. And you tell the story too. You tell a story. I'm from Altoona, so I root for Pitt Panthers and Penn State. But I love Dion, right? So I love Florida State. You loved Florida State, right?
I love Dion, and he made me a Florida State.
Correct.
Fan.
So you're exactly right. But after a while, it's like...
In all honesty, I do not see why you guys keep trying to say that that's weird. I guarantee you there are more people like me that like more than one team than people who only like one team.
Right now.
Like what's weird is like if you root for a college, but you didn't go to that college. That's so bizarre.
Unless you're looking and you don't have a football team. I don't have a football team. I have
to adopt. But you only root for one.
And I only root for one. Notre Dame. And I've done it since 1977.
You have a family connection.
But I have a family connection. I don't have Notre Dame.
And I don't want to make this like just a running thing where we're always like dumping on TJ. But it's just like, I just think it's weird. That's the personal thing that I've.
I realize you find a lot of stuff weird that most of us probably don't really have an issue with. So
like what?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm going to start keeping notes on that.
TJ. Here's a tactical mistake you made.
I made no mistakes.
No, is that you just brought it up to your... It's an excellent point that you made, but you did take Brockman off the griddle that he's going to be the Brandon Ayuk of his household when he comes home with his hat. You know, like this is going to be... I'm concerned for you, Chris.
No, actually...
But please use it well. All three of my children wore that hat. It's laundered. It's beautiful. It feels like it's straight out of the box.
It's like used Tupperware.
It is.
It's like Tupperware. Being
well, Max Cohen's jerseys are sold out, so I can't get him one yet.
We'll get you one on the black market.
So you'll have to keep wearing those Max Fried onesies until then.